Well, I want to think about this idea of I will send the hornet before you to drive out the Canaanite tribes. Well, you first read of this in Exodus 23, although it's repeated Deuteronomy 7 and Joshua 24. Exodus 23, 28, I will send the hornet before you, who will drive out the Hivite, Canaanite, and the Hittite. And it's parallel with verse 23, my angel will go before you and will bring you in to the Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, etc. So the angel went before Israel to bring them into the land and to ensure the weakness of the tribes when they got there. This was repeatedly promised. And yet they didn't believe it. Because although, surely, as is said here, the hornet, however you understand that, clearly under the control of the angel, had weakened the tribes, when the spies first go in there, they come back and say, most of them say, it's too difficult to get into this kingdom. The obstacles are too strong. We don't doubt that this is a good land. But there is no way that we can deal with great big cities fenced up to heaven and strong people, etc. Well, the hornet, whatever that is, had, under the control of the angel, weakened those tribes. And Rahab says this herself. She says, you know, when we heard you guys had crossed the Red Sea, we were terrified. And these walled cities, walled up to heaven, behind them were terrified people. And, of course, the whole thing opens up that when we were baptized, we, as it were, passed through the Red Sea, and we're now on our journey to Canaan. And yet it seems so difficult that how can I, as such a weak little human being, so limited, whenever I have a choice to the right or to the left, well, sometimes to the right, sometimes to the left, I'm so weak, how can I be a ruler of God's kingdom? How could I live forever? Is not the gap between who I am now and who I am supposed to be then forever, is it not too great? And it does seem like that, doesn't it? But the point is that the obstacles are there visibly, but they are not as great at all as they appear. And Joshua and Caleb, of course, perceive this. Now, if we inquire, well, what were these hornets that the angel oversaw? Because I've said there's a parallel between I will send the hornet before you to drive out the tribes and I will send my angel before you to drive out the tribes. Well, it could be literal hornets. I mean, a hornet plague would certainly decimate an economy. And there's a couple of places that are called Zorah in the biblical record, places in Judah, and that means place of hornets, as if this was a problem. And yet at the time, there were a number of peoples who used the hornet as a symbol. For example, the Phoenicians, who were later the Philistines, who were coming over from Cyprus, as it was, with hornets as totems on their helmets and so on. And they ravaged Canaan in the 40 years before Israel actually arrived. Or it could be the two kings of the Amorites who also attacked the Canaanites. Or it could be the Egyptians themselves, who were also at war with the Canaanites and were raiding them. And you got the same figure in Isaiah 7 verse 18, where we read that God whistled for the fly that is in Egypt and the bee that is in Assyria. So the idea of talking about marauding nations as bees or hornets or flies or whatever is understandable within the Bible. And whatever it was, these nations were used by the angel so that the Canaanites were terribly weak. Their economy was weak. They were psychologically downtrodden and weak. They had been defeated time and again, defeat after defeat. And as Rahab says, you know, we have no spirit left in us. We're just terrified and shaking and trembling before you. And yet, just looking at all this from a wider perspective, When Israel left Egypt, it was God's intention, quite clearly from how he speaks, that they should go directly to the land of Canaan, on the path that he was going to lead them through the desert, and they should inherit the land immediately. That was clearly his intention. But as we know, they lost their faith, and so they didn't. And they had to wander for another 38 years in the wilderness. Now, during that time, God was sending these hornets to make Canaan even weaker, so that when they did enter, it was very, very easy for them to overcome. And you see the economy of the way in which God works. There was a sin. Israel sinned. They didn't have the faith or desire, really, to go into the land. In their hearts, they returned to Egypt. They said, let's appoint us a captain and go back. And God, it doesn't say, oh, disgusting, I walk away from these people. He works with it. Okay, so that generation shall have to die. But he used that time period of those 38, whatever, 40 years, in order to really weaken the peoples of Canaan, so that when Israel did finally enter, it would be even easier for them than it would have been 40 years previously. So nothing is wasted. It's like if you look at nature, you look at the ecology, the system of nature, nothing is wasted in God's ecology. And believe it or not, it is the same in our lives. And even if we say, yeah, but there's been so many wasted opportunities in my life. I wasted so many years and I sinned and all this. And I didn't hold in with God's program as I should have done. That is all true. But God still somehow, and only God could do this, God still in the bigger picture, in his grace and wisdom and power, factors all that in to a sort of plan B that he works out, that makes use of all these things. And so you also see with this hornet thing that whoever they were, whether it's other tribes or literal angels, they operated specifically under the control of the angel, and they were to drive out the Hivite, Canaanite, and Hittite. Well, the land promised to Abraham was from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, not just Canaan. And these tribes that were to be driven out by the hornet were specifically in Canaan. And that is a fairly small percentage of the whole land area that was in view. And I think again you see how God kind of recalculated the whole thing. That was his intention, go and inherit the land. Leave Egypt, go and inherit the land that I promised to Abraham, the whole territory. But it became apparent that they just didn't have the spiritual vision for that. So, okay, he gives them a far smaller area to inhabit and to drive out these tribes. And his angel works in scaring these tribes and putting fear into them so that it's very easy for Israel to overcome them. And I think, again, you see how open God is and how he thirsts for relationship. Okay, you don't want to rule over 10 cities. Well, okay, well, let me go on plan B, 5 cities. You don't seem to like that. Okay, look, I just want to get you in the kingdom anyway. He recalculates the plan. Now, all that should not make us in any sense minimalists, that, okay, well, God's very gracious, kind, he's going to sort of save me anyway. No, you want to go to the maximum because that's how he is. That is what it should elicit in the humble and the sensitive person, the person who is sensitive to God's will, that what is your will for me today, Lord? What can I do? And I want to serve you to the maximum. Not as, you know, a religion that I do a couple of times a week at the most, and a couple of sort of sleepy prayers as I go to sleep at night. No, look, I want to give you more. I want to give you all I can. Show me what I can do. And just as he sent forth the hornet in whatever form it was, literal hornets, Canaanite, Phoenicians or kings of the Amorites, Egyptians or whatever, to weaken Canaan. So the obstacles that there appear between us and the service of God now and the eternal inheritance of the kingdom, you'll see that they are not at all how they appear to be. And he will give us the victory, and he already has planned that victory.